Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday Contemplative Worship Service. Thank you for your presence here in the room and wherever you might be, whenever you might watch this, we send the love of God to you. We're still in the season of Easter, and so we see these little passages of Scripture that invite us to ponder our relationship to the risen Jesus. Tonight we'll look at a very special one that invites us to experience a deeper union and to ask the question, what are we living in? Let's take a moment to ask the Spirit to bless this service and to speak to each of us and those who are experiencing this wherever you might be. And so we begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
The Gospel reading is from John chapter 15. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love.
What are you in? What are you in? And what is in you? This is a really important question. What are you in? What state are you in? What mood are you in? What level are you in? What consciousness? What emotion are you in? What center are you in? What are you in? What influence are you in? And what are all these things doing in being in you? We can be in all sorts of things. We can be in trouble. We can be in joy. We can be in Texas, or we can be in Wisconsin. We could be in love. We can be in despair. We can be in study. We can be in activity. There's all sorts of dynamics, and I think it's very self-explanatory. When it comes to the experience of the risen Christ and the invitation of the earliest Christians, their invitation, and it rings true today, was to be in relationship to be in relationship with the living Christ, to be in relationship with the living Jesus. Now, this is takes different forms for all of us, but this is the invitation for us today, is to be in relationship, to be in connection, to be in union with God through Jesus. And Jesus, as in his teaching in this profound passage, teaches us something about the nature that is mediated relationship, so that we're not just directly in relationship with God, we're directly in relationship with God through the branch and the vine. That as the branch abides in the vine, which is Jesus, and the vine is then grounded in God, the Father, whom he names Father, or Source. So this amazing teaching is that we're in God, that everything is in God, and God is in everything. Yes, that's true. The drop is in the ocean, and the ocean is also in the drop. But it's not just static like that. Think of the whole Gulf Stream moving and surging and circling the earth and colliding with lower forces of water or colder forces of water, and these streams that are living. It's not just the drop in the ocean. It's not just the ocean in the drop. It's this moving, living, dancing, relating thing. And so it's not just the branch abiding with God. It's the branch abiding with the vine that's grounded in God. And this is a suggestion to us that there's this relationship to God is mediated to us and with us through this relationship that we name Jesus. That's what Jesus is trying to teach the world, is that he is showing us the way to relate to the Father, to the Source, a way that scales the big energy of God, you could say the absolute, down to our level in the terms of the work. That as God Almighty, the creator of heavens and the earth, the Father, can't be seen or touched in this level of existence, on this planet, on our level, but Jesus can be, and Jesus was. And so his teaching is really quite relational and profound, to be in relationship, to be in relationship with him, and by being in relationship with him, to be connected to the Father. People have talked a lot about this idea of being in the unitive state, which is another place we can be in. We can be in the unitive state or the fragmented state. We can be in the state of illumination or in the state of purgatory on the spiritual journey. We can be in all sorts of states. We can be in desolation. We could be in consolation. And this notion of being in union with God is very interesting. And I want to draw this out because if you think of the vine and the branch, you can't tell when you get down to it where the vine ends and the branch begins. They're so one. There's so much union there. And it's a beautiful, beautiful image. However, there was a time when the branch wasn't there growing off the vine, the main line. There was a time when the branch started to grow and was small and tender and was vulnerable. And even then, in that small and tender and vulnerable place, the union was connected. But now the branch has grown. Now the branch is firmly attached to the vine, and nothing can shake it. And the connection is deep and strong. There's this in-between place that's a mystery when we talk about union. And if you tear that branch and vine apart, you can't really physically see it with your eyes. The in-between place is the space in between, the molecules that bind the branch to the vine. And that in-between place is where the mystery and the magic is. It's the emptiness that connects. The union is really a union of emptiness. And both the vine has to give up its vineness and the branch has to give up its branchness to experience that oneness. That emptiness has to be there, that space, so that there can be a oneness. If you think about this in terms of the in-between space, when you're listening to music or listening to someone's voice, as you are now, can you separate, just think about this for a second, can you think or even sense right now, where does my voice end and your hearing begin? Literally, my voice is in your head, for better or for worse. If you're listening to music, you're listening to the music, it's outside. It's either on headphones or a speaker outside. The music is clearly not in your head, and yet it is in your head. You're hearing it. There's such a oneness of the music with your hearing apparatus, this amazing ear that we have. And that's another example of that space that is created for the music to be received and heard. And this is a great way of perceiving the mystery of oneness, that you stop the music and you can't hear it. Take away the ear and the music can't be heard. But the two combined creates the space for grace, where the in-between space is how you're hearing the music. So these are wonderful ways to conceive of union and the union of relationship, that we are, yes, a drop of water into the ocean, and that ocean absorbs the water droplet, but also all of the ocean is in the water droplet to begin with. So this is a wonderful way of thinking about that union, and that you can never really be separated from God. This notion of being pruned is very interesting, because I think that most of us have experienced what we could psychologically or emotionally call times that were hardships or difficulties, where we lost something or we confronted something about ourselves that we saw about ourselves where it was difficult, or we were in a season of grief or despair where something was taken away, perhaps, from us that we loved very much. And we didn't know if we would get it back. We didn't know if we could come back from that. And lo and behold, the pruning led to a growing and a later flourishing. And we can see this again and again in life, that as we offer up ourselves to be emptied out and hollowed out, so to speak, by life, by the pruning of life, it takes a great deal of courage to let go and consent to that process. But as we do, Spirit has a way of reconnecting us in deeper ways and bringing further fruit into our lives. I was just reading a book about the history of surgery. And I'd always wondered how they handled pain throughout human history. All the amputations, all the dental work that people have had done, all the surgeries that have happened. And the miracle of anesthesia wasn't invented until, or discovered until, the year 1846. So it's just about 100 and almost 200 years ago, 180 years ago. That's just the skin layer of human history. If you think of human history as the totality of human history, it's only been in the last blink of an eye that there's been anesthesia. So we were very, very lucky to live in an era where we could have dental work done or surgeries done under anesthesia and not experience any pain. But for most of human history, for any kind of surgery or difficulty, people experience the pain completely. And so when it comes to pruning and this kind of cutting away, many of us would like to have that anesthesia, just to take the pain away, just to get through it without suffering. But it seems to me that part of the growth is in the pain of the pruning in our lives. And that psychologically speaking, we have had anesthesia a long, long time in the form of different substances that have numbed people out to feeling their pain, like alcohol or other types of substances that numb people to feeling their pain. And though anesthesia wasn't around until 1846, all these other substances have been around to keep human beings from really feeling what they're going through and feeling the pain of the pruning. It's kind of an easy way out. So part of the pruning process is the pain that comes, and we learn so much through that pain. It really is one of our greatest teachers. You wouldn't wish it upon anyone. You wouldn't wish it upon yourself, but when it happens, as it happens, that pain is a wake-up call to discover more deeply what you are in. You are in pain. You are in a place of difficulty. That doesn't mean that you need to be in suffering, because suffering and pain are different. But there's no getting around the fact, or no sugarcoating, when God does the pruning business, it hurts. It's painful. And some of our greatest places of spiritual growth have been when those severings have happened. And you can come around and touch those places in your being and know, oh, that's where that happened. And that's when I grew this much. And that's one of the great graces of having a memory. As you look back at your life, you can see all the ways in which God has worked in your life. So as we think about this in question, what are you in? You can be in pain, you can be in suffering, you can be in joy, you can be in agony, you can be in glory, you can be in anger, you could be in all sorts of different states or moods, sensations. But the invitation is to abide or remain in me, Jesus said. And it's the greatest thing that any one of us could ever be in relationship to, in Christ. And for us to just think about that, how do we cultivate that inness, that withinness? And one of the most powerful ways that I have experienced is creating that empty space to feel once again that connection, the connection that I'm not creating, but that's being given moment by moment. And the silence has a way of opening me up to feel that connection, the mystery of in-betweenness, that I can't tell where I end and where Christ begins. One of the things I loved about Bernadette Roberts' teaching was she said the dividing line, drew a line on a piece of paper, and on the top is God transcendent, the Almighty Creator God. On the bottom is God immanent, God within all things. And the line that divides the two never can be crossed, the created world and the uncreated world. But the line is what unites them, and that's Christ. Christ is the technical term for the union of the divine and the human. And if you think about that beautiful union that we've talked about so far in terms of being an open space, as you go deeper into the union, it's more and more open. It's such a mystery to think about how we're being transformed more and more into Christ. So it's not just that we're in relationship with Christ, it's that we're in relationship with Jesus to become Christ, to put it as bluntly as possible. That this relationship with Jesus is touching and transforming us from the inside out, transforming us into Christ. If you look at a forest of trees and say, there are trees, if you cut the trees down and turn it into a boat, and you look at the boat from which the trees came into being, the boat came into being through the trees, you can't look at the boat and say, there are the trees. You look at the boat and say, there is the boat. How did you get the boat? By cutting down the trees. You pruned the forest to create the boat. And transformation is just like that. That at some point, I'm no longer a tree. I've become a boat. I've been pruned so deeply, I've been transformed into something else, into a new vessel that goes new places, that carries new things, that sails in the Spirit. And that's a beautiful invitation for all of us to recognize that we're being transformed into the union, into Christ more and more and more, that it's having more and more of us. In a certain sense, to carry the analogy by way of the in-betweenness of the music, so that you're no longer needing to listen to music from a radio, the music is now in your heart. You've become song itself. And that's the mystery of this relationship, that it changes us into itself. It wants to consume us more and more, turn us into love itself. That's what the Eucharist is revealing, that the water is transformed into wine, and the wine is literally transformed into Christ's presence to us. And that's what the Eucharist is demonstrating on a physical level, what we're being transformed into, more and more into Christ. So that just as that forest is now a boat, so too this person named Peter is less Peterness and more Christness, more and more and more in Christ and Christ in me. And you can't go around telling people this sort of thing, but you can start to notice over the course of years and decades how you have been transformed more and more, little by little. And it's not as dramatic as the forest to the boat illustration, because in a certain sense, I'm still here. So it's quite much more of a mystery than just taking the forest and turning it into a boat. But you could think of it like yeast coming into dough. And the yeast is the living relationship with Jesus. And that yeast transforms the dough and turns it into bread, rising out of whatever the container is, expanding beyond the self, transforming it. So that it's no longer just dough, it's become bread. These are all beautiful images that people have used over history to talk about the mystery of what we're in and how it gets in us and transforms us into itself. John of the Cross used a beautiful image of looking at embers in the fire. It started out as a log. It started to be charred on the outside. It started to burn, and then it became fire itself. You couldn't tell the difference between the fire and the log. The log had been consumed by the flame and was burning from within. It's another beautiful image of the idea of union. So encourage myself to abide in Jesus so that Jesus might abide in me, and in that process transform me into Christ, the union of the divine and the human, so that there's still me, but there's more than me. There's still you, but there's more than you. You're not God. God is in you, and the union is Christ. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and just allow the Holy Spirit to bless you and seal in your heart a truth to take home tonight. Help us, Lord, to trust in you, to offer our lives up more fully to you, and to say yes to who you are and what you're transforming us into. Amen.
Let us now rest in the silence of God's love for 20 minutes of centering prayer.
Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Father, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. The The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit is with each of us.